Jesus Christ is referred to by name in various different forms. He's called the lily of the valley. He's called the bright and morning star. He's called the shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. He's called the King of Kings. He's called Potentate, the only Potentate. Lord of Lords, the Christ of God. But here in this passage that I read to you, he's called the Desire of a Nation. And I said just a few minutes ago that God had a people selected and set apart, chosen, called them His elect people. Chose them in Him, chose them in Christ, and wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. This chosen people. And this chosen people, Christ is their desire. When they find out their misery and what they are by nature, they have a desire, and this desire can only be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So He has many names, and here it's the Desire of the Nations. The word desire is a strong word. It means to long for, to hope for. It's a strong feeling. You have a desire, you have a strong feeling. It's kind of a craving, a desire. It's like some people have a craving for a chocolate. Strong craving. It's a need that can only be realized by being met. Strong desire, strong need. It cannot be realized by science or technology or philosophy. It's a desire, it's a need, it's a craving that goes over beyond philosophy and science. And he says here something about the desire. Well, I told you that God had a spiritual people, and they are that nation, this spiritual people. They don't just come from one nation. They come from every tribe and every tongue. And they are so numerous and great that no man can number. There's millions and millions of them. They're a covenant people. Covenant, I mean that God and he guarantees them salvation, which includes life, eternal life. He guarantees these spiritual people that no man can number. He guarantees them eternal life, that they will live forever, and he'll be their God forever and forever. And there'll come a time when they'll find all their desire to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. All their desire will be in Him. Now, old David, back here in 2 Samuel, if you want to turn and read with me, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 23. These are the last words of David the king, the son of Jesse, the man who was raised up on high. And he was the anointed of God, the God of Jacob. And he was the sweet psalmist Israel. And the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Gives you a little biography of this great King David. He had all that his heart desire. David had everything. He wished for nothing. He was laden down with silver and gold. His coffer was full. Had anything and everything that he wished for or desired after. But he said this, although my house be not so with God. That is, his whole family was not covered. There was no atonement for all of his family. Some of his family had never experienced the misery of who they are, or the grace of God in the atonement. He said, although my house be not so with God, my children are not under the cover. They're not under the blood. They're not under the atonement. Although that my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Guaranteed. Ordered in all things and guaranteed. The salvation of God guarantees eternal life to the receiver of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the delight of the sinner's heart. ordered in all things and sure. I'm sure of it. When his child died, he had mourned for some time. And finally, when they said, "The child is dead, David," David immediately got up and took a bath, cleaned up, and ate a hearty meal. And they couldn't understand that. And David said, "The child is dead. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't bring him back. He's dead. But I can go where he is." A guaranteed salvation. Well, he said, "For this is all my salvation and all my desire." What was David's desire? The desire was fulfilled in God. "This is all my desire, that I might see him, might know him, and be with him forever and forever. This is my desire." He had silver and gold. He had all that human flesh needed and wanted to enjoy while he was here. Honor and praise and homage. The man after God's own heart said, "This is all my desire." Although he made it not to grow, that didn't cover my children. Well, a spiritual people, the objects of his love. This people that come from all tribes, tongues, nations shall find in the Lord Jesus Christ all of their desire. All my desire. You remember now, this was last words of David. David was about to go off into eternity. And he said, "This is all my desire." A covenant God. The scriptures say over and over that Christ is all and in all. You see, men by nature, since the fall of Adam, men by nature have a desire that always finds a wrong object. But God says there will be a nation, a spiritual nation, and that spiritual nation will find in Christ all their desire. He is called the desire of a nation. Now, all through the history of civilization, you'll find, if you know anything at all about history, which I don't know much, but I know a little about it, you'll find in the record left by the historians that men throughout all ages, from Adam unto this day, all of them bear and have one basic desire. Men desire a visible God. A visible God. A God that they can see. A God that they can touch. And a God that they can handle. All men, by nature, desire a visible God. That's the reason why men make statues of what they think God looks like. They They make statues of them. They make statues out of wood. They make statues out of brass, copper, silver, and gold. They desire a visible God, a God that they can see, a God that they can touch, a God that they can move around. They put them in carts and drag them behind their horse. They hang them on the wall. They make pictures of them. Man, by nature, don't you see, desire a visible God. They stand out on cloudless nights and look into the heavens to see if they can see a visible form of some sort that they can call God. I just heard there on the news recently that a few years back when they sent some astronauts into space, they had cameras that could depict what was on the planet Mars. And they was assured that there was a picture of a man on the planet Mars. And when they came back from space, of course they told it through their telecommunication to Earth before they come back. When they come back, they told about seeing this picture of a man's or of a face of a human being on Mars. And it's taken them now about 2 years of exhaustive study and searching out this image that they were sure was. And they said, we've come to the conclusion it was not a man, it was a rays in the firmament there, or whatever they call that material on that planet. And it was about 3 miles long and a kind of a heaved up sand dune that had some characteristics that might cause someone to think it was a face on the man. But man by nature, that's what I'm saying, man by nature wants a visible God. He wants some sort of evidence that he can see, touch, and feel. All men are that way by nature. Well, they make those statues and those idols and make them out of wood and make them out of stone. And these are the evidences that man desires to have a visible God. It goes back to the beginning. Even God's earthly people, which were the Israelites, gave evidence of it. For there is one time in particular that I remember when Moses disappeared and went up into the mount to talk with God. He disappeared from their midst and said, told them to watch and to wait. Well, immediately after the disappearance of Moses, what did these people do? They took all their gold earrings and bracelets and whatever they could find that was made of gold, and they built a big fire and out of that molten gold, they made a golden calf. And they said to Moses when he came down, who was upset and angry with them. And they said, "This is our God. This is our God." You see, man has this overwhelming, ambitious desire to see a visible God. Goes clean back to Moses. In the wilderness, they got bit with fiery serpents. And they was about to die. And it was told to make a serpent of brass. And whoever looked upon that serpent of brass would live if it was bitten. And they cherished that serpent of brass and carried it with them everywhere they went for years afterwards, until God said, "Destroy that serpent of brass." If God hadn't destroyed it, them Jews would still be carrying that serpent of brass. It to them was an evidence of a visible God. And that satisfied them. But I'm telling you here this morning that nothing visible will satisfy the desire of a man who knows the misery of his soul, that he's far off from God, and that God is angry with the wicked day, every day. He'll never be satisfied until he finds the visible God fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, men by nature, all of us, have a desire that always finds a wrong object. The making of these things in the Old Testament certainly gives evidence that they require. Well, all over the world, in every country, men have shrines. They have sacred buildings. There's one sacred building there in the Middle East that people, all of Muslims, a religion, that they are required once in their lifetime to go over there in the area of Israel and to see that sacred place before they die. Build these shrines. Take these pilgrimages. They have sacred buildings. They have all kinds of religious paraphernalia. They have crosses. Here, even in our area, churches on what is referred to as Easter Sunday, prior to Easter Sunday, grown men and women march in parades and go from one church to the other, and they have crosses around their necks, and they designate or take as volunteers some men, some women to carry crosses. They have a unquenching desire to shades of colored curtains, purple, I believe. Maybe they changed the color once in a while and draped over that cross. They got to have a visible image of God. That's abomination to God, robbing God of His glory. It won't work. Always that way. You look with me here, if you will, in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, I believe. Chapter 1, yeah, the book of Romans. Paul says in this chapter, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them, for God hath showed it." Because that which may be known of God. Now, creation makes known that there is a God in heaven. There's enough wisdom and evidence in creation for men to know who God is. Is manifested in them, for God showed it to them in creation. Enough knowledge in creation for a man to know something of God. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That is, every man born into this world, every one of them, is without excuse. There is no excuse that a man can give for his ignorance. As a matter of fact, it is not ignorance. You see and talk about some pygmy over in the darkest regions of Africa that has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, has never heard the name of God, knows nothing about God. And you say, well, what about that fella? What will happen to him when he dies? Well, he's lost, and he'll perish forever in his sins. For God hath made known enough of God in creation and in his conscience so that he is without excuse. Listen now. Because that when they knew God, their conscience said that this knowledge comes by creation, and they knew somewhat of God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God unto an image. Unto an image. Every man by nature desires a image, a visible image of what he thinks is God. These people, the human race, is without excuse, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Why, they turned the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. They made God to look like a bird. They made God to look like a four-footed beast. They made God to look like creeping things. They are without excuse. And if you're here this morning, then you, without Christ, and still looking for a visible image of God, you're as bad as they are, and you have no excuse. No excuse. You'll find no favor with God when you are about to receive the sentence of death to be carried out. Your mouth will be shut. You'll have no excuse. Four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart. Crosses, religious paraphernalia. Crosses. Why a cross? Our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't even crucified on a cross. He is crucified on a pole or a tree that stood straight up, and they fastened his hands over his head to the pole. Not out there like that. Up like this. Put the nails between his hand and his wrist there. Hung him up there. And all the weight of his lower body pulled against him. And they took his legs and they crossed him and nailed him to a pole. And then they lifted the pole up and shoved it in the ground. But men wear crosses because they want a visible image of God. By nature, that's how sinful we are. That's how far off. That's how far remote we are in understanding anything about the spirit world. Make a God. Make a bird. Say, that's our God. Paul says in this chapter, there is a knowledge. It's not a saving knowledge, but a knowledge of God. To be found, enough of the knowledge of God to be found in the conscience of a man and this natural creation. And that leaves man, even the cannibal in the islands of the Pacific over in the New Guinea waters. Leaves them without excuse. They have enough proof of God Almighty in creation and in their conscience that they're without excuse. It's a witness to their conscience. Someone said, or I read about some of the soldiers in the war, Vietnam, the other wars, that they said, there is no atheist in the foxhole. No atheist there. Gonna get down to business in the foxhole. Why? Because even creation and the natural conscience gives them enough understanding of God that they're without excuse. You say, well, God going to send a man to hell that's never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? Certainly will. There's enough witness of God and creation and His conscience that He's without excuse, God said. He'll send him to hell. Enough evidence, brethren, is what I'm saying, that man's without excuse. And when he comes before God, the Bible says that every mouth shall be stopped. Be no, well, I think you, it's a mistaken identity. That was not me. No excuse whatsoever. All these places, Africa, what they call the uncivilized world, if there is such a thing. You see this idolatry and you say it's ignorance, but it's not ignorance. It's rejecting light. These Ethiopians and Muslims and all of those fellows, that's not ignorance. There's enough light in creation and enough proof of God on a man's conscience so they are without excuse. You pity them? They're without excuse, God. It's rejected light and it's rejected knowledge. Paul said, when they knew God, that which can be known of God, they glorified Him not as God. And that 21st verse says, they became vain. Over here in the first chapter of John, if you'll turn with me. John chapter 1. Let me read some from this chapter. Chapter 1, the book of John. Listen to what it says. In the beginning, when it all started, when it says in the beginning, I don't mean that there was a time and a place and a spot out there that you could identify as the start of this. In the beginning of the beginnings, God had no beginning. I don't understand all that, but in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was God. In the beginning. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word, is also God. And He's the desire of the visible God fulfilled. All you'll ever see of God is in Christ. If you've seen Christ, you've seen God. They complained to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, don't complain to me. He said, I and my Father are one. I am God. That's the reason I say the only God you'll ever see is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Word. And the Word, it says, was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the light was the light of man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the God in whom we have to do, is God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus. The Word, and notice the Word is in capital letters. W, capital W, capital O, and capital R, and capital D. Three times the Word is in capital letters in that first verse. The Word was in the beginning, the Word was in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. Refers to a person, and whoever this person is, Bob, whoever this person was in the beginning, God was a person, and it was God. God. Over here in the book of Philippians is something I want to read to you. Book of Philippians. Chapter 2. It says here in chapter 2, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He thought it not robbery. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The only way that you can be equal with God, listen to me now, the only way that you can be equal with God is to be God. That's the only way you can be equal with God, is to be God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. If you have seen Him, then you've seen God. He's the fulfillment of the image of God. He is the fulfillment. Don't look nowhere else or at anything else, but look to Him who is the fulfillment of the image of God. Because He is God. He thought it not wrong to be equal with God because He was God. Quit looking at them beads and superstition and these preachers are the ones that gets me. That has pumped up this world's population with such ideas that God is someone that you can trade with. Well, every day and every night they have preachers on the television, and I've seen them, that will get men to trade up to God. If you'll do this, you give God this $100, and God, I'll guarantee you, will give you 5 times as much. They're telling, and people are filled with that all up and down this land. Why? Because by nature, they cannot be satisfied. Their desires cannot be realized until they have a image of God in their souls. They must see it, Bob. They must see it. Why? Those preachers, they have congregations that if our building was encompassed the whole parking lot, you couldn't get those people in. There's so many of them. And they just clap their hands. And you can tell by the looks of their face, they're enjoying every word that's being said. And bless God. Bless God, there's not a word of truth in what they say. The only way that a man can have the fulfilled desire is to see God in Christ. He's the fulfillment of the image. Is to see God in. That's the only way you're going to see. You're not, if you listen to them evangelists on the television, it'll do you more harm than it will good. Because there's not a lick of truth. They're trying to do something for God and He'll do something for you. Pretty good bargain. That's a pretty good bargain. I'll do something for God and then He'll do something for me. I'll give God this and He'll give me twice back. Abel. Cain and Abel. They came before God. Cain brought the best that he could produce with his own hands from his field. The best. He brought it to God and God rejected it. And Cain got mad and killed his brother. Cain had a desire to have a visible image. And he brought the best that he had to God, and God cursed him for it. Cursed art thou, Cain, thou shalt be a wandering vagabond, and whosoever kills you. Well, that's right. Only one way you can be equal with God is to be God. Over there in John chapter 14. I think it was, but anyhow, if it's not there. It says this. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh. And He dwelt among us. And it says that the Father declared, told Him out. That is, the Father in the Bible, the whole Bible, told Him out. Declared Him to be the Son of God. Declared Him. Told out all there was to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Told out God. About God. Who He was. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't need no picture, no statue, no cross, or no of this paraphernalia of religion or ceremonies or rituals or what have you. Because I believe with all of my soul that in Christ is that desire. It's in Him. If you've seen Him, you've seen God. We've seen Him by the eyes of faith. In Christ, the desire of the visible God is satisfied. In that man. That man came here and was born of a woman. That holy thing, it says unto you, a child is born. A child is born, flesh and blood. But that flesh and blood was not the Christ of God, because it says in the next verse, or the next statement, it says, unto you a child is born, and a son is given. The Son of God is given. God and man. In one person. Unto you a child is born. Jesus Christ was never born. Jesus Christ was given. He was God manifest in the flesh. Great is the controversy of godliness that God was manifest in the flesh. That's the only God you'll ever see. You die and go to heaven, you'll see a man sitting on the throne. A man in glory. The God-man, the Lord Jesus. He came down here and He walked upon this earth. Men spit upon Him, rejected Him, would have nothing to do with Him, and finally killed Him. This man. And God raised him from the dead. And give him a name which is above every name. Why, they said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Excellent. That's what his name shall be called. They said his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. You know what they said? His name shall be called Emmanuel. That is God with us. God in Christ. And the only God you'll ever see is God in Christ. The man Christ Jesus. Well, let me read something here if I can find it. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Listen to what it says here. It goes, starts in verse 13, it says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who refers to Christ, hath, that's past tense, hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, that's a person, the Lord Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is this? Who am I talking about? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn, from the dead in all things. He might have Even that disciple that is referred to as the doubting Thomas. Why, he said, I'll never believe that he's risen from the dead. Till I put my hands in his wounds, I won't believe. And when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, even doubting Thomas, as he's called, had 10,000 times more faith than we did. He said, my Lord, my Lord and my God. This desire of all nations is the Lord Jesus Christ. Men by nature are looking for a visible image of God. But we see God in Christ. Christ is God. He's made in the image. Ah, they seen the physical body of the Lord Jesus, old Thomas did. He seen him sitting there, appeared to him. He was forced by reality to acknowledge who he was. My Lord, my God. David worshiped God in spirit and in truth. And he was confronted by a people who the God that they knew they made out of stone and they put it up on a shelf somewhere. David was surrounded with those kind of people. Look over here in Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Found that? Let me read some here to you. I said old David was surrounded by a people that made their gods out of stone wood. It says in verse 4, it says their idols were silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. These people who desire a visible image of God turn around and make these images, and he says they that make them are like unto them. And so is everyone that trusteth in them. Here's these fellas making these gods, have them all polished up, made them out of gold and silver and finery of some sort, certain metals. Their wood, they varnished it up and smoothed it up and put it in their shells and all that. And they made this statement. They said, David, where's your God? Here's our God. We got him all polished up here. We got him sitting up here high above everybody's head in the corner, and we revere him. And David said, well, you got a God that can't speak. You got a God that's got a tongue, but he can't speak. He's got a head, but he's got no brains. He's got feet, but he can't walk. He's got legs, but he can't move them. Well, they said, David, where's your David said, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's where our God is, in the heavens. And He's done whatever He pleases. And He'll continue to do that until time shall be no more. Now, I want to know this morning, who is your God? Is your God, do you have this desire that you can see a visible image of God? You have that in your heart? If you do, you'll never have no rest or no peace this side of eternity. And you certainly won't have any eternity. The salvation.